Hello, thank you for joining us today on The Last Great Day. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. It was on this day that Jesus stood in the temple and spoke of the rivers of living water, symbolizing a time when the Holy Spirit would be made available to all who believe. Because Jesus had not yet died for the sins of people, the Holy Spirit was not yet freely available to all who believed. Let's look at John 7, beginning with verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Much like a river is a source of life to the land nearby, especially in desert lands like we see in the Middle East or even near my hometown of El Paso, Texas, people with the Holy Spirit are to be a source of life to people living in the barren wastelands of life not having the Holy Spirit. And we become a source of life to these other people, not of anything by ourselves, but through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We must be mindful of the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us so that the living waters flowing from us are never ending and meeting the needs of the people in our lives. With many things in the Bible, there is debate over words and timing of events, and it is no different with the words from this passage of John. Some read the last day, the great day of the feast, to be the seventh day of the feast, and others read this day to be the eighth day of the feast. Obviously, because I'm speaking of this on the eighth day of the feast, I believe this is the day this passage is referencing. I also respect those who may believe differently. I believe it is wise to practice the teachings of Romans 14, verse 1, to avoid disputes over doubtful things, knowing that our time is better spent understanding the meaning of what Jesus was speaking about, rather than disputing when Jesus spoke those words. Such disputes tend to lose sight of the message and aggrandize those involved in the debate. Thousands of years ago, Israel was given a command to observe this day, along with the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Today is not only the weekly Sabbath, it is a holy day, a day when we are not to work. Leviticus 23, verse 34. "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be in holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be in holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein." It is through the observance of the holy days that we consider salvation and how God will bring this about so that the most number of people may be saved. Today is the final of the annual holy days, giving us reason to pause and reflect on the finality of salvation and God's plan to bring salvation to the masses. And we can be mindful of the verses recorded for us in Isaiah that speak of a new heaven and a new earth, understanding that the pain and suffering that is part of living on planet Earth will be no more, understanding that the pain and suffering that we have experienced, that others are experiencing, and that we may endure in the future, at this future time, will be no more, and there will be no more memories of these bad times. This future time is a time when we are gathered in Jerusalem to rejoice in happiness. Sorrow will be no more. unexpected death will not take away our loved ones. And the only people who will be sorrowful at the end of life will be unrepentant people. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. During this time, people will individually benefit from their work. No more will one person work and another person benefit from their labors. People will always be with God, and God will be immediately responsive to their needs. Even the animals will be at peace with each other, and in the kingdom of God, there will be no harm or destruction as we see today. Verse 21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build, and another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. The kingdom of God in its ultimate form is what is celebrated on the last great day. During this future time, the world to come will be much different than the world of today. Even though many look to protection from their guardian angel, in this future time of incredible happiness, angels will not be in charge. In writing what we know as Psalm 8, David wrote that God had made man a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. And all things on earth, except for escaping death through immortality, are subject to man. The last great day foretells a time when all will have access to the Holy Spirit, including those who died without ever knowing God and Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put into subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Jesus, the Son of God, was made a little lower than the angels because Jesus physically died, and yet was crowned with glory and honor, so that he could taste death for every person and bring many sons and daughters to glory. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus, who through his death sanctified the believers, his followers, is the brother of all, who taught about God the Father to the believers, who are the children of God. Through his death, Jesus removed Satan from having authority over us, and instead of making us like angels, who are servants of God, made us children of God through Abraham. Because Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, Jesus is able to help us when we are tempted. Verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. In this future time, temptation will be removed when Satan is bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. And then after a little season, will be cast into the lake of fire, permanently extinguishing his influence on this new world. Revelation 20, beginning with verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. During this 1,000-year period, those who died in Christ, and those who were alive at his return, who did not worship the beast, his image, nor receive the mark of the beast on their foreheads or in their hands, lived and reigned with Jesus during this 1,000-year period. Many try to figure out the mark of the beast and say it will be some type of computer chip or biometric payment method. The Bible does not tell us what the mark is, except that it is a mark in the forehead or in the hand. Until we know exactly what that mark may be, we need to remember that the forehead is symbolic of the center of thought and the hand is symbolic of action. Because judgment is now on the house of God, we must put thoughts and actions that are inconsistent with the calling that we have been given out of our lives. When it is time for us to know the mark of the beast will have a physical manifestation, God and Jesus will let believers know. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Those who are not part of the first resurrection will not live again until after the 1,000-year period has ended. It's better to be part of the first resurrection because the second death will have no power on those who are part of the first resurrection. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is released from the bottomless pit and immediately goes around the world to deceive the nations in a final attempt to overthrow the kingdom of God. That rebellion will fail, the rebels will die, and Satan will be imprisoned and tormented in a lake of fire where the darkness of sin cannot be hid. Verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. It is after Satan is forever banished that the great white throne judgment occurs. In this judgment hall are all people who have ever lived who were not part of the first resurrection. Those standing in judgment are judged by two books, the Book of Life and another volume, the Books, which likely would be the Bible, comprised of many books. If found justified or not guilty in this judgment, a person's name will be written in the Book of Life and they will live forever. Those whose name is not written in the Book of Life will be thrown into the lake of fire, where they will die and cease to exist. Only Satan and his demons will exist in the lake of fire forever, tormented by the light from which they cannot hide their sins. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Prior to this time of final judgment on all, the dead will be brought back to life. We know from Revelation that even those who died at sea, where only God knows their final resting spot, will be resurrected. The same will be true for all who died. All who have lived, who have not known God or Jesus Christ, will be resurrected and given an opportunity for eternal life after they pass final judgment. For those who lived and died on land, Ezekiel gives us an eye-opening account that sounds like it could come out of a bad horror movie. In Ezekiel's vision, Ezekiel was taken to a valley filled with dry bones where God posed a question to Ezekiel if these bones would live once again. Ezekiel did not presumptuously respond and instead told God that God knew if these bones would again live. God then shared with Ezekiel how these bones would live. Muscles and organs would be added to the bones, and the physical body would be covered by flesh with God providing the breath of life. In the vision, when the bones came together, it made quite a noise with bones rattling as these crashed into each other. God told Ezekiel to command the four winds to breathe life into these bodies. Ezekiel obeyed, and the bodies lived, becoming an incredible army. Ezekiel 37, beginning with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. God then told Ezekiel these bones represented the dead of Israel, who would be resurrected to a physical life so they could know God. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. It is this future kingdom of God, pictured by the last great day, that the book of Revelation describes, a vision of the new heaven and new earth. In John's vision, the earth and sky we know are no more, and during this time there is no more sea. John saw New Jerusalem, a holy city, descending as a gift from God to his bride, the church, from heaven. It is in this future time, on this last great day, that a voice proclaims that the tabernacle or home of God is with men, that God will dwell with men, and people will be God's people, and God will be with them to be their God. No longer will Satan and his demons have any influence. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. At this future time, there will no longer be pain and suffering. Imagine a time when there is no disease, no pandemic, no fear of death, because death doesn't exist anymore. Imagine a time when there will be no pain, no mental pain from the day-to-day struggles of life, and no pain that comes with the use of a physical body, because in this future time, we will be spirit. With no disease, no death, and no pain and suffering, there will also be no more sorrow. There will be no reason to cry in sorrow, and all will always be well. Verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It will be in this future time that all things will be made new. No longer will there be the thought that the worries and frustrations of life as we now know it will suddenly reappear. No more will there be the thought of loss or betrayal, nor will there be any thought given to natural disasters, because these will cease to exist. Every hardship that we have today, any form of frustration, any thought of fear and anxiety, doubt or worry will no longer exist. When all things are made new, we will be taken forward in time to a place always intended by God that from the beginning of time was rejected by Adam and Eve. A place where instead of knowing good and evil, with that knowledge of both good and evil, the foundation of all our problems we have, we will be taken to a place where we have knowledge of life, truth, and righteousness, where the problems we know today will no longer exist. Verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Those who endure to the end and those who overcome will inherit all things. Who are those who overcome? Those who conquer. Those who prevail. Those who are victorious, who have faith without fear, who believe, who are without corruption, who value life and do not shed innocent blood, those who are not sexually immoral, those who have faith in God rather than science and magic, those who worship God instead of man's created image of God, those who live a life aligned to the truth instead of the convenience of deceit. Those who do not overcome will not be part of this wonderful and incredible time of peace and will die the second death in the lake of fire, ceasing to eternally exist. Verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In John's vision, one of the seven angels who had the seven vials of the seven last plagues took John to show him the Lamb's wife, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven adorned with the most precious of stones, a city with 12 gates, each made of a giant pearl, three on each wall. A city so finely crafted, it has 12 foundations with the name of each apostle in each of the foundations. New Jerusalem has the shape of a square with each side 1,500 miles long. A city built with the purest of precious metals, so pure the surface appears like glass. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. New Jerusalem has no temple, because God and Jesus Christ, who live in New Jerusalem, are the temple of the city. New Jerusalem is a city without the need for the light of the sun or the moon, because the presence of God and Jesus Christ always keep the city in the light. Only those whose name are written in the book of life may enter New Jerusalem. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. In the middle of New Jerusalem is a river of life, crystal clear, with a spring emanating from the throne of God in Jesus Christ. On either side of the river will be found the tree of life, bearing fruit throughout the year, whose leaves were for the healing of the nation. In this New Jerusalem, there will be no problems as we have today. Revelation 22, beginning with verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The angel who showed John these things also told him that a blessing would come to those who keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book and worship God. Verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angels, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. John was told to make the words of this prophecy public, because the time was at hand. We are to maintain the truth that we have in our life, and not let it go. We must endure to the end, because Jesus will return quickly and his reward will be with him, who will give this blessing to those who keep the commandments, because it is through this we have access to the tree of life and the right to enter New Jerusalem. All others will be denied entrance. Verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. The message given to John was so important that in the vision, Jesus verified the importance of the words that were spoken so that the message may be relayed to the churches with the message that all who thirst may take of the water of life freely. The message given to John was so important that the curses of physical hardship in this life and eternal death are added to those who add or take away from the message, knowing that the return of Jesus will come quickly. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. With the end of God's holy days, we come to the point of a full circle, a wormhole in space and time, if you will, that takes us back to the Garden of Eden, when the serpent beguiled the woman into eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the only tree that was forbidden. Imagine if instead Adam and Eve would have chosen of the tree of life. That choice wasn't made, and because of that, we understand good as a comparison to evil, or good as the absence of evil. Because of that choice made so long ago, we can only dimly see this future time of New Jerusalem where good reflects life and the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, where good will transcend every concept of peace and happiness that we currently have. Good without limits. Good without boundaries. Where good is lived and celebrated every day. Where good endures each day. Where evil is no more. Where the pain and suffering of evil is forgotten. May we all remember the words of Jesus, "Surely I come quickly." May we all pray, "Even so, come Lord Jesus," knowing God's plan of salvation. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.